This is Ozarks at Large for Friday, April 19th, 2013. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. KUAF is supported by Mockingbird Moon, a yarn shop for knitters and creative spirits specializing in natural yarn in the natural state. Located at exit 86 off Interstate 540 in Bentonville, Mockingbird Moon is open 6 days a week, Tuesday through Sunday. More information on the web at mockingbirdmoon.com or 268-4378.
Today's edition of Ozarks at Large, we have the only hour of radio you'll hear today with classical flute and hip-hop performed live. Bryce Smith, who will perform with the Arkansas Philharmonic Orchestra in Bentonville tomorrow night, will play the flute.
While Smarty Jones provides the rhymes. We also have our weekly conversation about business and politics with Michael Tilley from thecitywire.com and more.
First, Governor Mike Beebe says the package of tax cuts approved by the Senate yesterday is acceptable to him because the near-term impact should not be too adverse, though he says he does worry about the cuts' long-term impacts. Those cuts trim a little more than $10 million in projected revenue from the fiscal year 2014 budget, but the figure jumps to $86 million for fiscal year 15 and about $140 million the year after that. The governor says the legislation's framers base the escalating cuts on what he calls rosy projections of economic growth. But even though Governor Beebe will be long gone from the governor's mansion by the time the heaviest reductions take effect, he says they make him a little nervous.
And I have an obligation to the next governor or to the folks, to the people going forward, to at least call their attention that if their assumptions are not right, if their optimism about what the economy will continue to do and grow, then they're going to be in a mess. And they're either going to have to undo some of those tax cuts or have huge budget cuts.
Governor Beebe made his comments last night on the AETN program, Arkansans Ask.
A proposed constitutional amendment that would, among other things, prohibit state legislators and constitutional officers from accepting gifts from lobbyists is closer to being on the 2014 ballot after passing the Senate yesterday. Representative Warwick Sabin, a Democrat from Little Rock, is a co-sponsor of the joint resolution, which would also loosen term limits. He says lawmakers can currently spend 6 years in the House and 10 in the Senate. His proposal would let them use the 16 years in any combination.
I know a lot of people are suspicious when you talk about letting legislators serve longer, but the truth is the public is served when legislators have a bit more strength relative to the executive branch and the lobbying community.
The proposal is supported by Regnat Populus, a group which tried to get similar reforms on the ballot last year.
In a press conference yesterday, officials heading the Mayflower oil spill cleanup effort said the air and water qualities in affected areas remain at safe levels for residents. 270 boxes of solid waste materials have been removed from the site, but more decontamination must be done to remove the 5,000 barrels of spilled oil. Faulkner County Judge Alan Dodson, the local on-scene coordinator, says he's assuring residents that the Mayflower Incident United Command Team has experts and trained staff to handle all aspects of the cleanup.
We started pumping at 7 o'clock this morning in advance of the expected rain. We feel good about containment of the oil where it's at, and we feel good about our ability to manage the level of the water there.
A Mayflower resident asked the panel how they would address seepage beneath the highway and in other hard-to-reach areas. Karen Tyrone is the vice president of ExxonMobil Pipeline Company.
When we've done the macro cleanup, when all the free oil is cleaned up, there's another phase to this, and that's the remedial. And it will involve things like continuing to have some boom out there in case there is a sheen or seepage that's unexpected. We'll have that protection in place. We'll monitor that. So that is an important phase of the entire effort.
The Arkansas Department of Health approved the reentry of some of the residents into their homes, but none have yet returned to the neighborhood.
Plans for the Ben Guerin Aquatic Center in Fort Smith are back on track after the Sebastian County Quorum Court earlier this week approved a $4 million budget appropriation for its share of the center's cost. While approval of the appropriation has been held up, first by the lack of a supermajority vote by justices of the peace and later by the issue being tabled, County Judge David Hudson says he is pleased that the project is once again moving forward.
I considered the interlocal agreement that we adopted in 2012 to be a commitment to proceed with the project, and it was a commitment not to the city of Fort Smith so much as it was to the citizens that we all serve. So I was greatly relieved that we finally got it approved and so we can move forward, and I'm hopeful that we can continue to stay on the same construction schedule that we had anticipated.
Hudson referred to a 2010 feasibility study that assessed associated entrance fees and salaries from similar water parks in the market. Though the salaries and fees for the Aquatic Center have been adjusted since then, the study showed that the park could lose more than $100,000 in the first year of operation and smaller losses in subsequent years. Hudson says once the park is open and more people are aware of it, the increased revenue will bring the Aquatic Center closer to breaking even.
The 11th annual Take Back the Night event is scheduled for tonight in Fayetteville. The annual event is a product of the University of Arkansas's Pat Walker Health Center Star Central Office and the Respect Peer Education Group. Dr. Mary Wyatt Hebert is the director of both groups. She says the event is an important tool aimed at raising awareness of sexual violence and violence against women.
11 years ago, a peer education group at the University of Arkansas, known as Respect, had decided, you know, it's time to bring this back to the area as a way of the community at large and the campus community joining efforts as a unified voice to speak out against violence against women, as well as sexual violence in particular. Over the years, it has kept a similar underlying tone that it's always been about speaking out against violence against women and sexual violence. It has a general format, but different events happen as far as different speakers and different elements are added from time to time depending on the climate of that particular year.
She says nationally, one in four women will be sexually assaulted within their 4 years of college, a statistic she says has persisted for 3.5 decades.
The Northwest Arkansas Naturals are back in the saddle after a 3-2 win at home last night against the Tulsa Drillers. The win comes after the Nats dropped all three games of a road series earlier this week against the Frisco Rough Riders. The Naturals continue the series against Tulsa tonight at Arvis Ballpark in Springdale.
Mostly clear tonight. Lows will be in the mid-30s, mostly sunny. Highs from 66 to 70 throughout the listening area. Tomorrow night, cloudy, not as cold. Lows in the mid to upper 40s. This is Ozarks at Large. With me on the phone is Michael Tilley. He is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers business, politics, culture, and more for our region. And how are you on this fine Friday?
I am well. Still enjoying this this winter we're having in the spring.
Exactly. Just moments before we initiated this conversation, some new jobless numbers for the state of Arkansas. New in that they're updated, not new in that they show anything radically different.
Correct. The rate for March, the jobless rate for March in Arkansas was at 7.2%, which is the same as February, and down just slightly from 7.3% in March 2012. I think the issue, again, the numbers just come out. I only have the top line numbers, so I don't have any of the drill down numbers yet, but I suspect that we'll see some of the same trend we've seen in Arkansas where We're still not seeing a recovery in the number of jobs. We're seeing a slight decline in the overall workforce. And the other interesting thing about this number is it marks 50 consecutive months that jobless rate has been at or below, or at or above, I should say, 7%. And this is all during a period that we're supposed to be in economic recovery.
Well, there has been some encouraging news for the Fort Smith region economically again this week, an investment in SGL. Tell me about that.
Right. It's a $26 million investment in SGL Carbon. They have a plant in, it's a global company based in Germany, but they have a plant in Ozark. And what these products they make essentially allow these steel furnaces to use these big electric arcs to power their furnace to melt steel. It's pretty high tech. It's a pretty advanced manufacturing. Talk about, you know, we need to recruit advanced manufacturing to Arkansas. Well, tucked there in Ozark, where a lot of people don't know, is SGL Carbon, and they do that. And the other thing is, as you referred to, this is the third positive economic development announcement in the Fort Smith area within 30 days. There was the Phoenix Metal Company, 30-40 jobs at Chaffee Crossing. Pretty good paying jobs, and then of course HMA, which will add 400 to 500 jobs at their service center. It's a hospital service center, and Those are definitely good jobs. They average around $43,000 annual salary, which is significantly higher, almost $10,000 higher, almost $8,000 higher than the average per capita income in the area. So, you know, for a region, for the Fort Smith area that's really been beat up in the last 4 or 5 years, those are good signs. Now, we're still about 12,000 jobs fewer than we had about 7 years ago. So we still have quite a hole to dig out of. But for folks in Fort Smith, at least there's some sunshine peeking in.
Well, I was going to ask, I mean, with the SGL announcement, with HMA, and with the Phoenix Metal, is it dangerous to say, okay, this indicates things are turning around, or should we think, well, there's partly coincidence here, and let's just see if it as a whole matters?
Well, that's a good question, and it's a question I asked Tim Allen. He's president of the Regional Chamber of Commerce, and his take was that, you know, we have to keep peddling. You know, the chambers keeps peddling. There are many pipelines in the project. He's optimistic there'll be a few more announced in the next few months, a few more projects. He wouldn't give me any hint as to what size, but you know, his take was that you have to keep moving, and you can't say, okay, we've got three in our belt, we can relax for a little bit. Because his point was that the economic development world, these site location consultants, they don't care how many you had or hadn't. They need answers, and they want you to provide them input. And officials in Little Rock depend on local officials to do their job to support economic development. So it was somewhat refreshing to hear Tim talk about, you know, we just have to keep peddling. We can't see these as a feather in our cap and get comfortable.
Some other numbers that were included in the latest edition of the Compass Report produced by thecitywire.com about emplanements, people getting on and off planes at the three major airports in Arkansas, including Fort Smith and XNA and Highfill, down at a couple. XNA was up, but slightly. Can we make anything of those numbers?
Well, yeah, and, you know, I know these aren't the most glamorous or sexy numbers out there, but they are great indicators of what's happening in both tourism and business travel. And what we're seeing in Northwest Arkansas for the first 3 months of 2013, those employments are up about 2.5% compared to 2012. And if you remember, last year, employments were up at XNA just 0.4%, but that was important because it ended two consecutive years of decline. So far, so good at XNA, even though they're still trying to recruit a low-cost carrier to try to push some of their airfares down. In Fort Smith, however, it's a different story, and it's becoming somewhat of a concern. They began to see employment declines last year in the fourth quarter of 2012, and for the first quarter of 2013, that continued, and they're down 7.4%. Fort Smith did have an employment increase in 2012, but it was just barely. So if you're looking at that from a business to travel and tourism standpoint, it's not good for the Fort Smith area. And in Little Rock, at what's now called the Bill and Hillary Clinton National Airport, their employments were down almost 5% in the first quarter. So I think what we're seeing, is somewhat as part of what our analysis showed in the Compass report that we just released, was that Arkansas's metro areas, the Northwest Arkansas metro area, is unique in its ongoing strength, and the other metro areas are having a hard time keeping up. And here we have some employment figures that support that analysis.
Finally, we're still talking, of course, about the 2013 legislative session, but conversation about the 24 gubernatorial election has really geared up this week. To the surprise of nobody, Mike Ross, former Arkansas congressman, made it official. He's running for governor, and the Democratic primary looks like it will be heated already.
Well, I mean, when Mike Ross flew around the state, I don't think he was flying around the state in a twin-engine plane. I think the first engine just got – I don't even think they fired up the second engine by the time the barbs were being traded. But, yes, Bill Halter, former Lieutenant Governor Bill Halter, and Mike Ross are – already going after each other. Of course, the dynamic is that Halter represents the more liberal elements of the party, and Ross represents the more conservative elements. So that's how you're going to see the sides line up on this. And you know, Ross has accused Halter of under delivering on the lottery scholarship, and Halter's accusing Ross of not supporting the traditional Democratic causes of, you know, women's rights and that type of thing. So, yeah, it's less than 24 hours into this official race. It's become brutal, which for us journalists means pretty. We love this kind of thing.
Michael Tilley is the editor of this and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers news, politics, and more for the entire KUAF listening area. Michael, thank you so much.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Thanks, Kyle.
I'm Guy Raz. Next time on the TED Radio Hour.
For the past few centuries, we have defined beauty not just as health and symmetry, but also as tall, slender figures and white skin.
Beauty. The good, the bad, and the ugly of it. That's next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR.
The TED Radio Hour from NPR, Sunday at noon on KUAF.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me is Lori Boatwright, who is manager of the Fayetteville Farmers Market. Co-manager? Is that what I would say?
I'm the general manager.
General manager. Okay, very good. First markets underway. Have happened.
They have happened. Opening day is both on the square and at the Botanical Garden for the first time. Double Saturday markets went well and opened our weekday markets. So we're rolling. Two on Saturday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
We have had some odd temperature swings so far. I mean, we've had a couple of weekends that were beautiful. Sundays in the 70s or maybe touching the 80s. And 72 hours later, the heater is on because it's in the 20s.
And that means the heater is back on in the greenhouse, too, and in the hoop houses. It's pretty tricky to try to garden this season. You know, last spring we had a very mild winter and warm spring and saw an abundance of produce early in the season. This year things are a little slower coming in, more traditional, really. But right now we've got, you know, all the early spring greens, salad mixes, spinach, green onions, things like that, lots of cut flowers and garden plants in abundance. But produce is slow in coming. We do have it, and every week there's something new. But, you know, we're expecting freezing temperatures again, you know, this weekend, and it slows things down.
Does that also mean for some farmers, if you don't have the greenhouse or the hoop house, you just wait to put stuff in the ground?
You just wait, and you protect what you have put in the ground. Even potatoes and things that you traditionally plant early are, you know, susceptible to freezing as well. And so we just, you know, very carefully plan ahead so that you're not replanting and doing it twice. So
that does mean, I mean, it's not as if tomatoes and sweet corn won't be here at all. I mean, they'll just be delayed.
They'll just be delayed, or actually they'll be more in with traditional Northwest Arkansas growing season.
We were spoiled last year.
We were very spoiled last year. You know, we had fruit. We had strawberries on opening day last year, and that was a fluke. But when people see it, they tend to think, oh, I can get strawberries on opening day or tomatoes, and sometimes you can. This year's not going to be one of those years. But when they do come in, we'll have all the varieties and in abundance.
Tomorrow, Saturday market. We're rolling now.
We're rolling. Saturday market on the square, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. And Saturday market at the Botanical Gardens from 7 a.m. until noon. Tuesday, Thursday on the square from 7 a.m. until 1. And Wednesday evenings at the Botanical Garden from 4 till 7. That market, again, has been a little slow in going. Weather has not been our friend on Wednesday evenings so far. Can't be in the tent when it's storming outside. But you know, as we see more produce, we'll see more vendors at the Botanical Garden, and it's going to grow and be a really great market.
All right. Lori, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Kyle.
It is Friday, April 19th, 2013. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
With us, Becca Martin-Brown, who is features editor in Northwest Arkansas Newspapers.
We are going to be childish today. No, childlike.
Okay.
So these are all things that are appropriate for kids of any age, and they have to be inexpensive or free.
Okay.
Okay. Tonight, the Battle of Fayetteville, the candlelight vignettes. This is the 150th anniversary of the battle. And they're doing, is it five or six candlelight vignettes, including like the capture of Union soldiers who attended a dance in West Fork, the Union commander reporting the results of the battle, the Yater sister telling their stories from the basement of a house under attack. And these will all happen from 6:30 to 9 tonight at Headquarters House on Dixon Street, and admission is $5.
Unless you're under 11.
Indeed.
Then you're free.
The Orchestra of Fez performs tonight. Part of Caravan Sarai at 8 o'clock at the Walton Arts Center in Fayetteville, and tickets are $10 to $25. Tomorrow, all kinds of farmers markets. The Central Ozarks Farmers and Artisans Market in Harrison on the Square, the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks Market, obviously at the Botanical Garden of the Ozarks in Fayetteville from 6 to noon, the Fayetteville Farmers Market from 7 to 2 on the Fayetteville Square, the Siloam Springs Farmers Market from 8 to 1 at City Park, and the Gravette Farmers Market from 8 to 2 at Old Town Park in Gravette. The Alma Spinach Festival is tomorrow from 8 to 4 with a spinach eating contest.
I would probably lose that.
One of the great disappointments of my childhood. Mom, I want spinach like Popeye. Ew.
It didn't taste like what you thought it was going to taste
like. No, it didn't. There are battle reenactments at 10 and 2 at Headquarters House.
For the Battle of Fayetteville.
View from the parking deck behind the Washington County Courthouse.
Oh, okay.
Academy kids at UAFS are doing 101 Dalmatians tomorrow at 2 at the Eccles Conference Center. Mm-hmm. That's $5. Springdale High School is doing The Little Mermaid at 2 at the Pat Walker Theater at the school. Those tickets are $7 to $10. And tomorrow night is Astronomy Day with seminars from 4 to 8:30 and star viewing at 8:30 at Hobbs State Park near Rogers. And that's free.
Absolutely free.
Now we're to Sunday.
Okay.
East Terrace Arts at Crystal Bridges from 1 to 3. Family music, making art, free. Earth Day. Music and children's activities at the World Peace Wetland Prairie in Fayetteville, 1 to 5 o'clock on Sunday, and that's free. The Side Street Strutters.
They are in Bentonville.
They are in Bentonville. They are a New Orleans-style jazz and big band, and they are part of the Live on Stage in Northwest Arkansas series. They perform at 2 o'clock Sunday at the Arendt Art Center, and tickets are $5 for students and $30 for adults. Sunday is the screening of The Sandlot.
Oh,
I'm really excited about this.
This is at Arvest Ballpark in Springdale. The game starts at 2, the Northwest Arkansas Naturals game, and then there will be a screening after that. The movie is celebrating its 20th anniversary with a special edition re-release and a minor league stadium tour. Tickets for the game are $6 to $12.
And tonight at Arvest is superhero night.
That's what I hear.
Kids are encouraged to dress up as superheroes.
Mm-hmm. Kids of all ages. And Monday is the Earth Concert and Art Show hosted by the Omni Center. They'll have Toucan Jam, Papa Rap, Emily Cates, and the Leverett Elementary Ukulele and Singing Club.
We heard from them yesterday on the show.
And that happens at 6 o'clock Monday at the Global Campus on the Fayetteville Square. Tickets are $5 for adults and free for kids.
Well, you were right. Inexpensive and free for families. You had a whole lineup there.
And I plan to go be childlike this weekend.
Very good.
Thank you, Becca. Becca Martin Brown is Features Editor at Northwest Arkansas Newspapers. KUAF is supported by listener contributions and by Malco Theaters, offering avoidance of sold-out movies and waiting in line with online ticket sales. Advance tickets to neighborhood Malco Theaters available online at malco.com. Ozarks at Large is underwritten in part by the Walton Family Charitable Support Foundation.
This is Ozarks at Large. Saturday night, the Russians are coming. The Russians are coming to the Arendt Art Center. Well, in a way. The Arkansas Philharmonic Orchestra, the APO, has a program of Russian music. Stephen Bias, the conductor, is with me. How are you?
Doing very well. Always a pleasure to be here.
Russian music.
Russian music, indeed. I think anyone who knows me knows I have a penchant for all things Russian, musically speaking, that is, and the composers and the folk traditions. It's wonderful stuff, but this is a great program this weekend.
Well, it's the I don't know if you can say there's a headliner, but Rachmaninoff's that's my choice for a headliner. How's that?
It's difficult to top the Rachmaninoff second piano concerto with anything. I mean, the third is very popular. People do play the first from time to time, but as far as concerti go, it may be the most popular piano concerto ever written, and much to the chagrin of all the composers who were Rachmaninoff's contemporary in 1900, this piece became certainly the most popular piano concerto of the 20th century. It's a thrilling, dynamic, organically perfect work.
You did not have to go far geographically to find your soloist there.
That's true. That's one of the most exciting things. In addition to being a program of essentially orchestral and soloist show pieces, and being Russian and exciting and exotic. This concert is essentially a presentation of the artists of Northwest Arkansas. The musicians in the orchestra are featured in two orchestral showpieces. And Jonathan Story, a local pianist, a really amazing talent, will perform the Rachmaninoff. Plus, this is our first presentation of the inaugural Arkansas Philharmonic Orchestra, University of Arkansas concerto competition. We have a young man, a flutist named Bryce Smith, who will perform the only non-Russian work on the program, a flute concerto by Malcolm Arnold, the English composer.
So the Rachmaninoff is very popular, but it's probably fair to say Night on Bald Mountain is more well-known. I mean, that's one that even if people don't know what it's called, you've heard it.
That's true. And one of the things I enjoy about Night on Bald Mountain is that children know it as well. It was a very important part in the movie Fantasia and an introduction to this very dark, brooding, exciting, thrilling, mysterious music that children have known for now a couple of generations. But it's an orchestral showpiece that's known by most people. And it's interesting. One of the things I like about this piece is that almost none of the music by the Russian composer Modest Mussorgsky is presented in its original form. A lot of the composers of the 19th century thought they knew better. They thought that the Mussorgsky's music was impractical, too rough. And so it was spiffed up quite a bit, made bright and polished by Rimsky-Korsakov. The French composer Maurice Ravel, of course, orchestrated pictures at an exhibition. But when you hear Mussorgsky's music in its original form, it is earthy, a little brash, sometimes raw. But it suited and reflected the personality of Mussorgsky and is really exotic in its own right, very different from what we're accustomed to hearing. But all of his music has a certain very primal appeal, and Night on Bald Mountain is one of those such pieces. And it's an orchestral showpiece where everyone in the orchestra gets a chance to be featured.
Do you ever think about your role? Because you mentioned Ravel and Rimsky-Korsakov tweaking or altering or adapting. By definition, that's what you do every concert, whether you willfully intend it or not, because we'll never hear something the same way again. And through your manipulation is too hard a word, but through your direction, we hear the music the way, hopefully, you want us to hear it. Do you think about that role? You're taking some centuries-old music at times, and for that night, it's in your hands.
That's a great question. As a matter of fact, I think about this a lot. The role of a conductor is a complex one in the best state of being a conductor. I really believe on every level that it's essential that a conductor will remove ego from the role of actually collaborating with musicians. It's a grand irony that the conductor is the only person on stage not making a sound. And so to bring the musicians together to play must begin with a certain respect and gratitude for the musicians who are there actually making the sounds. But to remove ego from it completely and create an environment where the musicians can do their best to create the music is always my goal. But my training, my musical training, runs the gamut to be able to access what the composer's real intentions were. Of course, we do know that there are some instrumental soloists, vocal soloists, conductors who like to put their stamp on things and will sacrifice the composer's intent for their own agenda, musical or otherwise. But that's not my goal, never has been. And I think that's one of the reasons why the musicians here in Northwest Arkansas like me so much. I approach these pieces from the composer's standpoint as best I can, and I research them infinitely. This is probably the sixth, eighth, ninth time I've conducted the Night on Bald Mountain. But I look at it fresh and anew each time, trying to understand what it was that was the composer's intent and to bring that to life in the most concise and efficient way that I can with the Arkansas Philharmonic or any orchestra that I'm working. But it's a very good question.
7:30, Saturday night, Arendt Arts Center.
Yes, and You can buy tickets at the door. You can go online to our website and purchase tickets if you like. But we'd love to see as many people there to support our regional musicians in the orchestra and these two fantastic soloists from Fayetteville to play with the orchestra.
ArkansasPhilharmonic.org is the website.
That's correct.
Stephen Bias, thank you again.
Always a pleasure.
And we heard Stephen Bias discussing the Rachmaninoff. The man who will be at the keys for Rachmaninoff second is Jonathan Story, and he's with me now inside the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Kyle?
Very good. How familiar are you with Mr. Rachmaninoff?
I'm pretty familiar with him. I would say that over, if you look at all the scope of composers, I've probably played more of his work than just about anybody else.
So what about the second? What as an artist or a musician do you have to know about the second?
Well, my attachment to the second is just intuitive. I've always just loved the piece personally. And I think that something that people should know about it is the period of time in Rachmaninoff's life in which it was written was a very pivotal time. It was around the turn of the century, I believe 1901. He had premiered his first symphony a couple of years beforehand, and that was condemned by the critics, panned by the critics, not very well received. And so he was, for a couple of years, he was deeply depressed.
And not writing at all.
Yeah, he didn't write anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the second concerto, after he was able to overcome that depression, he wrote the second piano concerto, dedicated it to his psychiatrist who helped him overcome this grief. And so that's something that's, you know, I think important to know about the history of the piece. The piece itself, it's lasts just under 35 minutes, depending on who's playing it, I guess. I would say 33, 34 for me, but once I take the stage, it may be 30 or 31 minutes.
Just because of adrenaline?
Adrenaline,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The movements are all about 10 minutes each. The first movement, very, very Russian sounding, of course. The beginning of the piece to me is like the tolling of bells, those chords that come in the piano, and then this tragic theme comes in, and then a very beautiful second theme. The second movement is kind of like, I would say, similar to an aria, with the piano singing and the orchestra playing, and then a tumultuous section in the middle, and then coming back to that first theme. The third movement is it's more of a kind of a rondo form.
30 to 35 minutes with one piece. Does that take stamina on the pianist's part?
It does. That's one of the challenges of a lot of stuff written by Rachmaninoff, and pretty much most of the concerto literature is that concertos generally do take stamina, having to make it through 30, 35, 40 minutes. And then when you add to the fact that it's Rachmaninoff, that takes even more because, I mean, he has huge chords, thick chords. You know, there's a lot of notes.
When you're on stage with a conductor in an orchestra, you can't see the conductor. You're looking at the music, right?
Well, actually, I don't have music.
You've got it. Okay.
Yeah, I got it memorized. And,
so,
actually, Stephen and I have already gone through the piece. We did that a couple of days ago and went very well. So I'm confident of the notes and confident going into this. Actually, I've worked harder on this than I have on anything in the past. So well prepared, I think.
When you and I are talking Thursday afternoon, when will you have your first run through with the entire APO?
We will have our first run through tomorrow, Friday, at 6:30, and then Saturday morning we'll practice. We'll do a run through, and then we'll play Saturday night. It's really pretty phenomenal, amazing what these orchestras do because the conductor comes in the week of the performance. We have a couple of rehearsals, and we perform, and that's the quality of the musicians. Just really high quality musicians, of course, world class conductor in Stephen Bias, and you know it's pretty crazy what they're able to accomplish in such a short time.
Say it's a Sunday afternoon, you've got nothing to do. I don't know if you ever have these, but you just sit down, you have a piano, and go, you know what, I'm going to play the rock, and you don't have a concert for it coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Just for grins, I'm going to play the Rachmaninoff second from start to finish. Do you ever do that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm always, even when I'm working on, like, let's say, while I've been working on this concerto, there are times when I've pulled out new repertoire, and I've just looked through new repertoire because I'm always anticipating what I'm going to do next. Pianists are always doing that.
All right. What to an actor I say break a leg? What do I say to you for Saturday?
Anything but break a finger.
Okay. Well, then, anything but break a finger. Thank you, Jonathan.
Thanks, Kyle.
This is Ozarks at Large. And, Kyle, you spoke to another person who is performing with the APO tomorrow.
That is correct. Bryce Smith, who's a student at the University of Arkansas. He's one of the featured performers that Stephen Bias a few minutes ago talked about. Mm-hmm. They'll be at 7:30 at the Arendt Arts Center with the Arkansas Philharmonic Orchestra. He's a native of upstate New York, but he's a student at the University of Arkansas. Now, he plays violin in mm-hmm. the University of Arkansas Orchestra.
I didn't hear violin yesterday.
No, you did not. He plays violin for the University of Arkansas Orchestra. He plays violin in Sona. And he plays violin in Arkansas Philharmonic Orchestra.
Uh-huh. But?
But tomorrow, he's playing flute.
Oh, that's interesting.
He's also getting his major in German, by the way.
Very well-rounded fellow.
Yes. Tomorrow night, his performance of a Malcolm Arnold composition is the only non-Russian piece on the program. He played that piece to win the University of Arkansas Concerto Competition this year, and I asked him about that.
I entered the University of Arkansas Concerto Aria Competition, and that was this past February, and there were so many good musicians that played. It could have been anyone's day to win, but I feel like I provided something a little bit extra musical, and I really connected with the jurors, and I really felt like I became one with the piece, and I think that was my ticket this time. I've actually auditioned for it a few times, but this time was my lucky time.
You say you became one with the piece. How does that happen? Rehearsal, rehearsal, rehearsal?
Definitely. Practicing a lot, listening to many recordings, and just sitting in a practice room and note by note, really going beyond the music, finding what's in between the notes. I believe that you really know the music if you can feel what's in between the notes. And I just really listened to the piece over and over, practiced it very slowly, practiced it backwards. I've taken it to master classes.
Practice it backwards?
Yes. Like, especially for hard passages, one of the great ways to learn a piece very well is to start on the last note and go to the first note. That way you know it.
I'm not a musician, so excuse. How does that help? I would think that would even confuse you.
Well, I think the brain sort of works with the muscle memory, so having it learned backwards, sort of, your fingers just get used to that pattern. And I think what's especially cool about it is that if, say, something were to happen during a performance, your fingers would automatically know where to go. So when you are performing, it's not necessarily your brain working. Your fingers are already flying, you know. So then you can stop thinking about the notes and really connect with your audience. So
now the flute you brought in here today is beautiful.
Thank you.
Tell me about this.
Well, I got this flute some years ago back in high school, and it's made out of solid silver. It's a Jupiter de' Medici, and it's an open hole, which is different than the student model flutes, which means it can produce a warmer sound, a larger sound, and a lot of different characteristics that a cheaper flute wouldn't necessarily be able to produce.
Now, when you say open hole, mm-hmm. that means the holes there on those keys?
Right.
Because some flutes don't have the holes in the keys.
Right.
And does that allow for a more finessed sound, too?
Oh, definitely. Well, there's more opportunity for the sound to come out. The sound will also come out of the keys as well as at the end of the instrument, where with a closed-hood flute, it would just be right at the end.
Right. Do you mind playing something?
Sure. One of my favorite pieces is Lament by Rhonda Larson, and I'll just play a little bit of the beginning.
That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Okay, so violin in APO and Sona and the university, flute tomorrow or Saturday night on stage. You thinking about bagpipes next or the glockenspiel?
Well, I like to keep my mind open, and I used to play different instruments like the tuba and the cello, and I just really like to experiment with the different instruments and really see what they can produce, and I think that really helps in my education to know how to play with an orchestra when I solo, or how to understand what other musicians, how they use their technique and different things like that. It always helps to go outside the box and learn a little bit more.
Bryce, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Bryce Smith will perform tomorrow night with the Arkansas Philharmonic Orchestra in Bentonville at the Arend Arts Center at 7:30.
Millions of years ago, giants roamed the Earth. I'm Ira Flatow. Join me on Science Friday for a look at Utah's paleontological treasures. We'll talk about the Utah Raptor, and it's not a sports team. Plus, what looking at the deserts of Utah can teach us about the planet Mars. All on Science Friday from NPR.
Science Friday, just ahead at 1 on KUAF.
If a young man with a beard, wearing a t-shirt and blue plastic glasses, approaches you on the street and asks, "Hey, do you like hip-hop?" Don't brush him off. Chances are good that it is Smarty Jones, and he'll probably offer to rap for you. That's what happened to Ozarks at Large's Christina Thomas as she was walking into yoga one evening. Struck by Smarty's outgoing personality, self-assuredness, and eloquent speaking skills, she decided to bring him into the KUAS studios to learn more about his music career and desire to build a hip-hop scene in Northwest Arkansas. Born in California, Smarty Jones is not his given name. Christina began their conversation by asking him where his name came from. It isn't from the racehorse.
It's really weird how it happened, though. I was just, like, wearing a suit and tie every day for this old sales job I had before I realized I was a rapper. And the corner store that I went to was owned by these Indian guys that I became good friends with. And I was the squarest one in their group. And I know that's hard to believe because I'm, like, so awesomely gangster right now. But back in the day, I was not so cool. So they started calling me Smarty just because I was always in the suit and tie. He's like, "What's up, Smarty?" So, you know, I, instead of letting him use that as a hazing process, I just kind of ran with it as my rap name. So.
All right, I like it. You mentioned when you realized you were a rapper. How did you just realize you were a rapper?
Well, I had written poetry as a kid. I actually had 2 poems published before I was 12. They were in, you know, school contests. When I was 12, I started expressing myself through my dress and my hair, you know, and just started speaking out, and I got in a whole lot of trouble. I ended up spending the next 6 years in all sorts of, you know, places, not able to, you know, write, express myself, not able to be around music or instruments, and really just kind of, you know, stumped. Whenever I turned 18 and got out of all that trouble, you know, I found myself as a salesman. I did that for a few years, and that really, you know, made me realize that I had a silver tongue. You know, I was quick on my toes, and I could talk well. And then, you know, I just combined the poetry with that. My brother had moved to Seattle to pursue his art career and had showed me a couple different artists like Macklemore, who's now super famous, also the Blue Scholars. And this was the first time that I ever heard hip-hop that, you know, it was meaningful lyrics. And, you know, I saw these guys traveling the world with this stuff. And I was amazed that you could write good hip-hop and make a living off of it. And so that's what I started doing.
What makes for a good hip-hop lyric?
You know, I like to say that, you know, me and all of my peers, I think we're doing damage control on more than a decade of gangster rap. I was watching a movie called Crips and Bloods, Made in America, and it's a beautiful documentary on, you know, how that came to be. And there was one quote in there, and he said, "The greatest form of oppression is to make the oppressed oppress themselves." And I feel like, to a large degree, that's what our generation has done, you know, with rap music, radio rap, and gangster rap. You know, I don't know a lot of people that listen to gangster rap and, you know, relate or empathize with the lyrics, but yet it's on the radio. You know, I don't really see how that happens. But I think there is a change. I've been saying for 3 years, you know, since I found Macklemore and since I started rapping, I've been saying that Macklemore was the underground's best chance at going mainstream. And now it's happened.
What is the hip-hop scene like here?
Non-existent.
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 Well, then what are you doing?
I'm trying to create one.
Okay.
You know, there's artists that I look to that have created something out of nothing. You know, one of them being Tech N9ne. He's out of Kansas City. You know, Kansas City has a huge thriving hip-hop scene now. It was almost non-existent, you know. I've done a year or two of work in Fayetteville now, so all of my time is invested into my hip-hop career and ultimately the scene in Northwest Arkansas. I don't want to leave to go to an already established scene like Seattle or L.A. and come back and see that those efforts have, you know, disintegrated. I want to build something up to where I can leave, come back, and it still be there.
Well, you brought your beats. Let's hear something.
Cash, she'll make you run faster than the next man. Kicking and biting hands, unaccording to plan. Here's the hope, and it's not the hand that feeds you. If it is, jump back, cause it's liable to beat you. But they say it's nice to meet you, often even seat you. But in the end, they'll really just defeat you. So don't get it twisted, these lessons that they teach you are just to find and reach some more meat to eat through. Rules are meant to be broken, so of course there'll be a rebuttal as soon as the law's spoken. If it's written, you can bet they will incite it. Better yet, they will invite it. So why would one write it? A human is a pilot with a motor not so quiet. So within these restless vessels, we wrestle our own tyrants. I'll confide in you and leave my confidence in silence. If you don't turn these truths back on me like teeth of tridents. Everything is just a stance. The system can take away what has been given by your parents. Regardless of a parent's forbearance or steady grants. Regardless of a car or crease within your pants. In fact, my every breath and glance is circumstantial. So turn me up a decimal so I can feel professional and cut through this group perpetual like it's weight sectional. This booth is my confessional, just me and intellectual on a way stronger than any congressional around. It's just a preposition, but my surroundings seem to always have me in submission. And I know a few convicts with a whole lot of conviction, but that thought seems to conflict with what they taught us in detention. But they thought you weren't here mentioned if your pop's plans got pinching. Yet we're all just inching closer to the grave each day. But some of us are born a hell of a lot farther away, but not me. This hot tea was not free and the service wasn't sloppy, so the waitress probably won't cop me. She reveals a receipt and retreats, leaving you the copy, cause obviously you brought me. So thanks for the sandwich and tea that you bought me. Though your generosity wouldn't change the pitch and key of the monstrosities that you taught me. So before you try and stop me with your words now sloppy, just know you were the seed that gave birth to this poppy. And that's Cream.
Cream?
Yeah, it's, you know, the acronym Cash rolls everything around me. It's actually, you know, an old Wu-Tang song, Cream, that's the title. And I had heard Cream, you know, all throughout, you know, my friends just hearing stupid people, you know, Cash rolls everything around me, you know. But just, it's so true, it's so true. And I actually didn't even know it was a Wu-Tang song. I'd actually heard just the expression so much in my generation, because that's how much of an impact the Wu-Tang song made, so. Yeah, and then after writing it, everybody was like, yeah, you did a rendition of the Wu-Tang song. And I was like, what are you talking about? And they were like, Cream. And I was like, I looked it up and I was like, okay, that's who that came from.
Right, but you're like, that's my song.
Right, you know, but yeah. I knew that somewhere somebody had to have started the, you know, the acronym Cream, but you know, it makes sense that it was Wu-Tang.
Yeah, cool. Stuff. Where do you get your beats? Do you write your own?
No, I've tried to. You know, I spent 3 to 4 hours a day for about 3 to 4 months working with FL9 Fruity Loop Studios and just couldn't make anything to my standards. So I just started searching for other people. That beat we just heard was from the Almighty Intellectual out of Long Beach, California. This song, Cream, is off of my first album, Audiobiographical Substance. So that's my first official project that I've released.
Okay. So when you write, do you write for a beat or do you have a beat already when you're writing?
When I first started, I didn't have any beats at all. And so I was just writing to a beat in my head that, you know, didn't and was to never exist. Yeah, both. Okay. I really like to write to the beat, and that's how the process should be done. But at the same time, I know how a good song goes.
Well, you're emceeing a show on Saturday at Rogue, right?
I am. I'm emceeing a show on Saturday. It's going to be a show by Audible Chocolate, an ultrasonic nozzle. It's an electronic show. I'll be rapping in between all the sets. And there's going to be live glass blowing by Ink and Glass. There's going to be disco sirens, which is like, it's like modern day go-go girl type stuff. Just so there's going to be so many different mediums. I think it's going to be a really fun show. And then again at Rogue on 517, I'm doing a show with E-Sid out of Minneapolis. Then four different rappers from Kansas City, one from Tulsa, one from Springfield, one from Denton, Texas, and then another local. So it'll be a really fun show. Awesome. Well, Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate coming on the show, Christina. And hopefully you'll have me on again sometime.
Awesome. Thanks.
Listen for another song from Smarty Jones on Sunday's edition of Weekend Ozarks. His website, smartyjones.es, for information about upcoming shows, or his album, Audio Biographical Substance.
Support for Ozarks at Large comes in part from the University of Arkansas's Women's Giving Circle. A listener-supported service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas, this is KUAF 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Johnson.
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 You used to have that one-lane bridge. Now it's a two-lane bridge.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that was interesting. Glad I brought that
up. The more you know.
Exactly. An announcement this morning from the AMP, the Arkansas mm-hmm. Music Pavilion. They are announcing the Summerland Tour 2013 is coming to Northwest Arkansas.
Right.
So, it's actually the full title of the tour, Summerland Tour 2013, Alternative Guitars.
Mm-hmm.
Everclear, mm-hmm. Live, Filter, and Sponge.
Okay.
That is an economy of band names. Four, one name.
So four bands, one show.
Right.
Okay.
It's going to take place Wednesday, July 24th at the AMP, which is at the fairgrounds, Washington County Fairgrounds. And tickets will go on sale April 29th at 9, and most of them from $22 to $37.
All right.
I saw Live in Philadelphia back in like 1997 or 98.
I am unfamiliar with them. Sorry.
Well, they haven't been on the radio for a while.
Okay. Good deal.
Sports news. We mentioned the Naturals earlier. The Razorbacks tonight are opening a three-game set against Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
But the University of Arkansas gymnastics team...
They always do very well.
They always do very well. For the sixth consecutive year, they're going to the national meet.
Oh, cool.
That starts tonight. The first session is tonight. The Razorbacks actually are in the second session semifinal that begins at 8 our time. It's taking place at Poly Pavilion on the campus of UCLA.
Very cool. Good luck to the gymnastics team.
Yeah, and it's kind of a nice, not surprise, but they had some setbacks earlier this year. They had some injuries, and then they went to the SEC meet, and the SEC is by far the most competitive conference.
Is it for gymnastics?
It is.
Okay.
Alabama's the defending national champions.
Okay.
And they did pretty well there, then went to the regionals and kind of had what for the national folks was a surprising performance.
Surprising in a good way.
Yes, in Oregon, and that vaulted them, so to speak, into the national meet, which is this weekend. So hopefully they'll
congratulations
advance.
To them.
Yeah, if they can advance beyond today, they go into the Super Six, and which they did last year.
Cool. Well, best of luck.
Yes.
Couple of we have a walk tomorrow, a walk MS Northwest Arkansas to benefit the National MS Society. That is tomorrow at 9, registration at 10, and the walk begins at Lake Fayetteville Park. More information at walkmsarkansas.org.
All right. This is, let's see, Christina and I will be together Sunday for Weekend Ozarks Large. That's Sunday morning at 9. And then you will be by yourself on Monday.
All by my lonesome.
For a brand new edition of the Daily Ozarks at Large show Monday at 9.
And we'll be back together on Tuesday.
That is correct. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Doing anything tonight?
I'm not sure.
Okay, very good.
Probably.
I know that you're planning on going to Arbest Ballpark sometime this weekend.
I think it's going to be Saturday.
All right. Well, go Nats.
Go Nats, for sure.
All right. Thanks a lot for listening. Have a great weekend.